When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Brad. I just wanted to let you know that the net neutrality issue that we addressed briefly in here is next week. It's up for a vote next week. So if you're going to do something about it, do it now. Please, this is a serious issue. Thanks. Wow, Jonah, that's very nice.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Going Off Track.
Welcome to Musical Interludes in the afternoon.
Brad has this miniature little nylon string guitar with five strings that I love picking up over here. And I just love writing tunes on it.
Yeah, man. You're doing a
everything
great job.
Sounds good in open tuning.
Yeah, it's a sweet tune. It's very sweet.
It's very nice. But yeah. Welcome to the podcast. I'm done with that. Don't worry.
You should, bring it to Pulse Music next time we're recording to make, maybe you can record a solo record.
Yes. Pulse could make this guitar sound amazing. It sounds good already. But thank you to Pulse Music for letting us record there as always. And now, a very special announcement from Brad.
For 1 minute, I'm going to be uncasual because we don't usually like to get too heavy on this program, but there's something right now that is going to directly impact podcasting. In fact, some of your shows wouldn't exist if it wasn't for net neutrality. There's a lot going on in the news. This is being completely overshadowed, and it's a huge issue. It's going to impact podcasting. The other thing that it's going to impact is independent music. It's going to make it harder for your artists to make money, and you fucking know it's hard enough as it is. So it's politics. It's a pain in the ass. But honestly, if there's anything that you need to pay attention to and get involved in, we need to not let this happen. We need to keep the net neutral. So whatever you can do, of course, the best thing you can do is contact your congressman. There's a website that I've used called battleforthenet.com. If you go there, it'll help you. You can call and you can email, and you need to really do both if possible. And there's ways to do this if you don't want to fucking talk to anybody. There's ways to call like after hours and leave a message. But really, this directly impacts all of our favorite people, podcasting and musicians. So sorry to bore you with that. And I promise it'll be years before I'll make another political statement.
I guess when it comes to politics and the net, you've got to keep them separated. All right.
Wow, I don't know which was worse, my diatribe or that.
I don't know. I thought it was a smash. But anyways, today on the podcast, we have Scott Weingard. You may know him from Texas is the Reason.
Or he may have cooked for you.
Yeah, Scott is a very well-known chef, vegan chef. I'm sure he can cook all kinds of stuff. He was also the bass player in Texas is the Reason, as well as a bunch of other bands. Just old kind of New York hardcore dude turned successful chef. And he's the last member of Texas is the Reason for us to have on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
And Scott is kind of based in LA now. So we've been trying to set this up for a really long time, but he was here opening a Mexican restaurant in the East Village recently. He also was out here last year opening an amazing pizza place. I believe it's called Double Zero. But yeah, Scott is just an amazing chef, an amazing dude, a great musician. And he has a cookbook with Matthew Kenny, who is someone he cooks with in Venice, who I think is a pretty famous chef. The new book is called Plant Lab, I believe.
Plant Lab, yeah.
And I think they work at a place, or they own a restaurant called Bar Verde. But yeah, Plant Lab is his cookbook. If you're interested in what Scott's talking about, I would check it out, because it's sort of a lot about, you know, these kinds of techniques and the way they kind of cook these foods. And, you know, it's, I think it's vegetarian, vegan based, but it's cool. And you should definitely check out Scott's Instagram if you dug this podcast, because like I said, in this, like his, the stuff he makes, it almost doesn't look like food. It looks like artwork.
Yeah.
It's really very cool. Colorful, very flowery, very, he's a great dude. So yeah, so happy he could come by. So yeah, let's just get right into it with, Texas Is a Reason and superstar chef Scott Weingard.
Jonah's twisting his mustache to illustrate.
I am so happy because Scott is on the podcast today.
Finally.
Hi.
And I've been trying to get Scott for years. We've gotten everyone from Texas a reason. Scott lives in Los Angeles now. How long have you lived in LA?
Over 4 years now.
Over 4 years now. Really?
Yeah, but I'm back so much.
Yeah.
I live in Venice right now.
Well, not nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Abbott Kinney represent.
Yep. That's where our restaurant is. Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wrecked a car on that street many years ago.
Nice.
No coincidence.
So you moved out there to start a restaurant? Or?
Yeah, well, I started working with Matthew like over 6 years ago now. Matthew Kenny, who he's like the founder of the restaurateur, whatever. And we had this project in Santa Monica, and I basically went out there and kind of never came back. It was like, I'm just going to stay. This is like perfect for what I want to do. And I didn't have to. And I was working from New York and kind of managing a few restaurants. But then once we opened in the restaurant in Santa Monica, it just, everything made sense all of a sudden with like, okay, we're going to base here. This is going to become more of a, like the, like Los Angeles is going to be where like our flagship is going to be and where we're going to stay. And it just made sense because, you know, the food that I do and the produce is amazing and the health, all the healthiness and, you know, just kind of, you know, all kind of fit in to what I was looking for. And I wasn't even trying to like look for it.
Does it completely change, like, you know, based on your location and the way you cook, it must completely change like your menu options just
by
which coast you're on? 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, we just opened this Mexican restaurant and, you know, Mexico is, you know, known for, you know, warmer climates and, you know, different vegetables. So it's kind of tricky because I'm, you know, everyone expects me to be like, my friend, you know, came, he's like, where are you getting corn now? I'm like, this is a different concept. You know, I have to have corn. This is a Mexican restaurant, you know? So, yeah, so it's things like, and you know, of course,
you couldn't find a Santa Monica corn grower.
That's from New York. So like, you know, I mean, it's growing somewhere, yeah, you know, and it might even be from California, but it's right now in, you know, November, corn's not really popping out, you know, in New Jersey.
Sure.
So it's tricky because I definitely, you know, in our restaurant in Los Angeles, you know, we are very strict about like, you know, most everything, 99% is all California grown. And, you know, we kind of, you know, we use a lot of the local farmers and so we kind of, you know, stick to that. So it's very few things that we like let slip and some nuts and stuff. But
what's your criteria for like screening the farmers?
You know, if they have awesome vegetables and they're cool, that's basically it. You know, it's so different in, because I've been going to the farmer's market here. I'm not trying to compare them. Well, I am comparing them.
But
I am comparing them.
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't know. It's so, I feel like I've been to these New York farmers a million times and they still don't know me, you know? And like, you know, the first week I was in at the Santa Monica farmer's market, they're like, what are you doing here? Where are you going? And I had, and the next day, like, hey Scott, what's up? Did you go here? And like, everyone's like really, I feel it's so competitive here in New York and in LA it's competitive, but I feel that the farmers have a little bit more of a community where everyone's like, kind of like got each other's back or, hey, did you see this? You see that? Like in New York, it's like, I saw this rare thing and I'm going to take it all for myself. And I've been like at I've been at the market here and, you know, in the rain, my hood up, grabbed like a bunch of things and, you know, a chef was like, "You're taking all that," and I turn around, it's like my friend. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're starting a fight with someone, like the farmer's market over like some arugula flowers. Like, what's going on here?
I think you just defined the East Coast West Coast rap war.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always felt like it's the opposite with most things.
What?
I've always felt like LA was more sort of like competitive than, and that New York is more cooperative.
You guys didn't know Biggie Pac were going at each other about arugula flowers?
Yeah, that was a real big deal.
That's some real shit.
That's why Puffy won't talk.
Yeah.
He's trying to you know, have you all the
that
goes
because when he bent over in that car, it was to cover a basket of vegetables.
I was watching a movie once.
Fact.
Yeah, heirloom
tomatoes.
And part
of this movie alluded to that, like the truffle market was like sketchy. Where like some guy with like a big leather coat... It's like, hey, I have these black truffles.
There's a guy here.
And he's like, I can't tell you where I got these.
He carries like a briefcase with handcuffed to his hand. There's definitely a guy in New York. But in Los Angeles, a guy comes with this shitty, like, you know, styrofoam cooler. And it's like, hey, I got truffles. And it's like, no big deal. But right. I guess you're like taking him on the subway and walking around, you know, whatever, Manhattan. It's like kind of a sketchy thing. If like, you know, you have... whatever, $500 a pound, you know, black truffles.
I mean, that's like serious money. Like,
but who's going to buy them from that person, you know? Like, you know, all of a
but
sudden.
There's got to be, when you're talking about that kind of money, like somewhere through the history of time, someone's been murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Because of a truffle transaction, right?
Yeah.
100%. You're dealing with serious dollars.
Do they grow them anywhere except France? Can you get them here?
Yeah, there's some growing in Georgia, some growing in Oregon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have to have a pig?
Yeah, that's
pigs and dogs, mostly dogs now.
Like, oh, really?
Pigs, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'd rather a pig.
I've never been. I've never, like,
you can
seen
request
a,
that.
A truffle. Yeah.
Were these truffles done by dog
this
or pig?
Is, but this
dog.
Is my fantasy. Piss this is that. My fantasy
Georgian
retirement.
Program,
is my become favorite. A truffle farmer, like in France.
Really?
Yeah. This is this is how I see me retire.
Never knew this about you, Brad.
Wow.
Specifically truffle farming?
Yeah. Specifically in France.
Wow.
And my wife points out, like, you know, it's probably like, you know, that's the kind of thing that probably runs in families for generations.
Yeah.
And plus, you don't speak French.
Brad, don't give up on your dream, man.
Yeah, no.
I'm finding that I can do it in Oregon.
Yeah, you should do it in Oregon. Yeah.
Sure.
Scott, I had a question. You know, I follow you on Instagram, and you post a lot of the food you make. And to me, I don't totally understand, like, it's so beautiful and colorful. But it, like, looks like art or, like, flowers or something. I mean, like, could you explain, like, your approach to, I guess, like, vegan cooking?
Well, I think, like, vegan cooking was always, like, you know, had the, you know, stigma of being, like, this, like, crunchy, you know, hippie. And, like, everything was just, like, brown rice. And, you know, everything was just brown. And, like, this is, like, you know, vegan food and vegetables. And they're so beautiful on their own. And it literally just, like, years ago, my friend had all these cookbooks. She was a chef, and I picked up this cookbook, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This stuff looks so great. Why doesn't anybody do this strictly vegetarian? And I was like, you know, I work in a Angelica kitchen, and, you know, very, you know, old school brown rice. And I was always, like, trying to, like, you know, do things a little bit nicer. And I'm like, no, just do it fast. It's got to go. And so that was always my thing. I always wanted to, you know, elevate. In a way, like, and just, you know, I always saw them as being, like, so, like, all these colors are so beautiful, like, the greens and the reds and the oranges, you know, and even, like, the shapes of, like, mushrooms and truffles. Like, there's so many different, like, textures and colors and flavors.
Don't get brag on the truffles again. It's going to be run wild.
We'll go after. Yeah.
We'll talk later.
So I just, you know, that was always my thing. I just wanted to, and then I just always wanted to elevate it somehow and have that, you know, try to find that, you know, that platform. And I worked with Matthew. I helped him open a restaurant called Pure Food and Wine. That was 2005. And when I found out he was opening a restaurant, I knew about his, and I was like, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be that nice restaurant and that's doing vegetables. And that was amazing because that was like a raw food restaurant. We weren't even cooking there. So it was a whole other, like, you know, thing that I wasn't even, like, you know, I was so intimidated my first day. I was like, I don't know any of this shit. This is, like, stuff.
It's like science.
Yeah, it's like all these dehydrating.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they're like a certain degree that you can't go past.
Between, like, 115 and 135, 140, they say. They say that, you know, after that, like, some of, you know, the important enzymes start getting lost. It's not like you're not going to get nutrition from but it's just better for you,
right,
according to, you know, raw food.
You say it skeptically. Is it bullshit, you think?
No, no. I think, oh. I mean, I've seen raw food diets definitely help people, and I feel, I mean, I've done it for, you know, long periods of time, and I feel really great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm just, you know, it's just like when people get really, like, religious and, like, you know, it's, yeah, like, it's like, ah, you know, I'm just saying what people say, and you can, you know, you can do it yourself, and like,
certainty will fuck everything up. You yeah, can't trust that.
Yeah, so I say, you know, for me, I felt good on it, and, like, you know, I don't do it for, you know, I couldn't do it today, and, you know, it's really cold outside, but, you know, but, you know, being in Los Angeles in the summertime and everything's in season, it's really easy to, like, not, you know, and you don't even think about it some of the times, but
what started it with food with you? Like, when did that?
Was it when you were playing in Texas still?
I always worked in restaurants. I started, like, bussing tables and being a dishwasher in an Italian restaurant in Long Island in Rockville Center. And then I ended up working in, like, a retail clothing store, like, for another, you know, high school thing. Basically Fountainhead, my first band, we started to play more and be a band, and Chris, the guitar player, his girlfriend started going to NYU, so he, like, basically moved into the Lower East Side with her right away. And then shortly after that, I moved there, and, like, we just kind of, like, and then Chris started working at Angelica Kitchen. He's like, I can get you a job at Angelica. I'm like, all right, I started. And so, like, right after that, and that's where I really learned about, you know, it was really more than just, oh, I'm vegetarian or I'm vegan, or, you know, it was, yeah, like, they were so
it's like a way of life there.
Yeah, it's, and just the products and the ingredients, sure, and, you know, they were really, you know, like, they were doing local and seasonal stuff before it was, like, this weird, sure, trendy farm-to-table thing.
Yeah, when did that? That's not even, they opened in the 70s.
Yeah, like, late 70s, wow. 77, wow, 79, so, yeah. Cool. And, you know, so then I was on St. Mark's, and then Leslie, the owner, moved to 12th Street, where it, you know, just, yeah, closed last year. You know, they were open for over 40 years.
I didn't know Daly got you the job there.
No, Chris Traynor.
Oh, Chris Traynor. Yeah. Got, yeah, it. Oh, also, yeah, legendary post-hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. It's my best friend from high school.
Still, really? You, yeah, guys went to high school together?
Yep. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was going to make this tempeh as a reason joke, and now I feel like it doesn't work as well.
Yeah. But at Angelica, like, when he got me the job, like, you know, there was, like so many people, like, you know, Alan Cage worked there, Gus, who was, like, a, you know, he, mm-hmm, was a roadie for the Gorilla
Biscuits. That's kind of like a dream of mine right there, things. What you said is Alan Cage preparing me a meal at Angelica's Kitchen.
Yeah.
That would be, like, one of those, like, cool, I'm good moments.
There was all these, like, yeah, that, all these guys, yeah, all those people, like, all,
that's,
like,
pretty awesome.
You know, there was always, and then, you know, when I was there, you know, the, you know, Brian from the Van Pelt, Neil from the, like, all, yeah, you know, a lot of the Van Pelt guys worked there, and I don't know, it's just so many people from bands, you know, even, like, the guys from the Rapture worked there towards, like, in the late 90s.
Interesting, I never knew that.
Yeah, Luke and Victor. Vito.
Yeah. I didn't realize till just now that you were the Fountainhead portion of the famous Texas is the Reason for a show flyer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, like, it's like, it was like,
who cares? Who's this?
It was a big deal.
Can you give some context on this? Yeah. This is a very obscure.
Well, Norman played in Fountainhead too. He, okay, just didn't record on the record.
So, in, like, what year must that have been? 95?
Mm-hmm.
There was a show at the Unitarian Church in Chatham,
mm-hmm,
New Jersey. And it was a big deal that a show was there anyway, and it was with Bloodlet and Ignite.
Yep.
And
Snapcase and Donuts.
Yeah. Oh, it was like this epic fucking hardcore show, and on the bottom of it, the flyer says Texas is the Reason. I mean, this is like a staple name now that we're all comfortable with, but at the time we're like, fuck is that? How did they get on this show? And then there's these little hyphens under it that say X, I believe, Shelter, Fountainhead, Copper, and
probably 108.
And 108. Yeah. And 108. And everyone's like, what is this super group? And it was this, like, there was, like, an insane amount of, like, hardcore nerd Jersey kid buzz over, like, this mystery first band. Because there, I mean, there's fucking no internet or anything. This just appeared out of thin air. There was no talk, mm-hmm, no Twitter chattering. It's like, hey, no selfies at practice. Like,
I love that. Stuck in your head, though. I love that.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. Firmly.
Were you at the show?
In general. Huh?
Were you at the show?
Of course I was at the show. Yeah, I saw it. I was like the nerdy kid with a backpack filled with flyers, like in the second row the entire time.
Scott, what do you remember about the first Texas show?
Well, the first show we played at the Equal Vision Loft on 26th
Street.
Oh,
right, right.
Okay.
And we played with Samuel, and we were just so happy that Samuel was like, you know, wanted to play a show with us.
Such a killer band.
Yeah, they were like, you know, the band that like we wanted to be, you know. So, and I just remember just kind of being like, we have these songs and we're this band, and but we're not, you know, 108 or Shelter or, you know, whatever, right. Fountainhead or, you know, and we kind of thought we had a cool sound that was kind of different. I mean, that was our like main goal. We just wanted to do like a rock band. You know, we didn't want to be like this fast hardcore band. We always like, you know, from the time, like even when Norm was in Fountainhead, we were talking about doing this next band, and we like always had Chris, like as soon as, the first time I saw Chris Daly play drums, I was like, I need to be in a band with this guy. He's amazing. Yeah. And then just meeting him, it was like, we were best friends all of it, like right away. And it just totally made sense. So we always had this band. And we had like, you know, we talked about playing with this person. We talked about playing with that person. And then finally just, we were at the Equal Vision Loft because Norm was living there. And phone call came in. They were like, Garrett got kicked out of Copper. And then like the next day, like Norm like called him. Was like, you want to play with us? And like, it seemed like he was, you know, down in New York City because he was living in Buffalo. He came down and like we went to like Chris Daly's parents' house, and Chris Daly was still living there, and he had a little, you know, rehearsal room. And
is that in Jersey?
That was in Jersey, yeah. And we just played, and it was like, whoa. And the EP was like all kind of hashed out in that first practice. Like those songs just kind of came
really?
Out. And wow. It was like, this is really cool. And then getting Garrett to like kind of commit, and I kind of feel like he was down and he moved really fast, and things just kind of started happening, right? Like we would go to, you know, to New Jersey every weekend and just, you know, make songs and hang out and swim and go to the mall and just, you know, be kids and, you know, just hang out in New Jersey. It was totally random and weird, but nothing ever happened that way. It was so easy. And it always kind of just, everything just always seemed every time we played together, it always kind of seemed that it was like, this is so easy. This is like so, everything's so comfortable. Like this is exactly like what it's supposed to be like. It's never like I've been in bands like, you know, trying like, what's the next part? Or what are we going to do here? Like Texas just all kind of like, you know, just kind of came together. It always kind of does. Like it kind of gels really easy for us.
See, I love it because I get to reference Nowcore again. Because that's how I was living in California. That's how I first heard of Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was like this amazing KTEL Presents comp. It was like the last thing I think they ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Promise Ring and Jehu was on it. Mm-hmm. And you guys were on At the Drive-In was on it. Jawbox was on it. It was just this greatest hits of awesome bands. And you were one of those bands that like in the middle, I was like, I've heard good things. Yeah. And let's do it. I'm like, motherfuck. Like, it's like. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember you guys from that. What was that Rev? Was it 100 that they did skateboarding?
Oh, yeah,
that?
The in-flight program. Yeah, yeah. I think we were the first song, too. So, like, that made it, like, very easy for, like, you know, because he didn't have to get through all the other stuff.
And I saw Scott on TV cooking with Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray?
I believe so.
No.
Was it with someone else?
I was about to say how jelly I am.
Heidi
She's kind of like
Heidi
my
Klum,
secret.
Maybe. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I used to...
I have a weird attraction to Rachel Ray.
When she was filming for...
It's true.
What, Project Runway is that? What she did? So
Heidi Klum, what did she do?
Yeah, that's what she did.
Project Runway.
She's too skinny. Wait, Heidi Klum? More interested in Rachel Ray.
All right, no, I'm sorry. I just went from 6 to midnight. What did you say?
I was cooking when they were filming for Project Runway. I would cook the lunch for... Heidi and a couple of the other people on
I'm
staff
more
there.
Talking
and you,
about
and
Tim
you did
Gunn
something
and Heidi.
With her on TV, though, right?
What's that?
Did you do something with her?
Yeah,
on TV?
We did. Okay. I was like, she had like an AOL channel, so we did some like cooking things. I don't know if they're still on there, but
I definitely remember watching it. Yeah.
There was the funny thing was it ended up being aired in the cabs. In the cab TV.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So I would get like...
the big time.
I would get text messages from like my drunk friends late at night. Be like, you're on TV with Heidi Klum.
I just turned you off so I don't puke.
Yeah. I can't deal with this. No. Yeah. So, but yeah. No. So that was fun. It was cool to do those, you know, AOL video things. You know, we did some snacks. And
do you like that? Did you like the cooking and talking about it? And
yeah, it's fun. It's just like, you know, I just... anything that I've never done before is always fun, you know? And, you know, so it's just like, oh, yeah, I'll try that. I'll try that. You know, I've never been like, oh, I got to be on TV. You know, like, it's not my, you know, that's not what I chase after.
Is there like, yeah, is there like different worlds in like the chef world where, because I assume someone who's always on TV and always doing these circuits must have like some sort of agent pushing them
for sure,
to
yeah.
these things.
It's definitely a lot with PR and agents.
Yeah.
And,
you know, so how does that work? Like you get to a certain stature and like most people hire agents or like, are you part of like the cool punk rock chef community? Who's
I don't know. I'm probably not that cool in the punk rock chef community. Kind of always how, you know, Texas was always kind of not cool in the punk
if
rock
you were
community.
Like a band. Like if you were a band in the chef community, what band would you
I'd be fucking Fugazi. No, I wish. No, I mean, but the thing is, like, I, like, in a perfect world, yes, I would love to be able to, like, I'm so fucking strict with my ingredients. I'm fucking, you know, I'm going to charge, you know, exactly what I need to. But, you know, I work for a company that's kind of big and... So I, you know, I basically feel like I'm on one of those major label bands that like kind of does pretty good, but still like, you know,
maybe like Wilco or something.
Yeah, maybe
like something there.
Yeah, Wilco before Nels Klein, like later shit.
Okay, so you're the Wilco of chef.
Maybe Radiohead will say something like, you know, a little more experimental and like
that's true.
Cooler.
Yeah, you're a little more out of the box.
Like we're not really not so
Americana.
Well,
that's hard to eat
not
your
so
later food.
You know,
yeah, that's
true. Amnesiac.
That's true.
That's now have you been approached by things? I watch a lot of Food Network stuff and I'm always like wondering like where'd they get this judge from, and is that something that's ever come across? Is that something that
not
you're
to judge
in?
I've been asked to like you know like chopped kind of situations and things like that. I just don't really think that competing on TV but with cooking is like doesn't sound fun to me.
No. That's very stressful.
I don't really like to do anything in 20 minutes. Like, not to say that I'm not like efficient and like can't do, but it's like, oh, you have 20 minutes to do this thing with
put
all these
a Milky
stupid,
Way with
yeah,
some duck.
Dumb ingredients. Yeah. And it's like,
and yeah. What show are you
I don't
watching?
Know. It's just kind of weird. Like, it's something that I just don't really feel myself wanting to do that I would have. I mean, I don't know. Just... But I could also, you know, you could be like, oh, we're going to do it right now. And I'd be like, oh, I guess I'll do it. But, you know, if I had to, but it's just something I never really, it's not really something I chase after.
Food is such a cool, accessible thing because, like, my children, I have 6-year-old twins, they love watching, like, those tasty videos, that, you know, where they speed it up much faster than it takes to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But they love watching them. They love watching the Food Network. They love watch. They won't try anything new, but they love watching it, the preparation. I'm like, I hope this like rubs off and becomes something.
Yeah, you got to get them to cook for you soon.
Well, their father, if he didn't have a microwave, they wouldn't eat. So, but it does
next
scare
Father's Day, you just wake up to a beautifully prepared meal you had no idea they could do.
They don't even realize I'm a vegetarian, so they don't. They're just like, I don't.
Did Tay as a guy from Man vs. Food block me on Twitter?
Wait, why?
Yeah, yeah, he did that years ago.
Oh, no. What did you do?
And I've
did
never met him, but I've heard he's a cunt. From more than one person.
He did this thing.
You punned his food, didn't you?
He did this thing.
Oh, no, you did something great. This is a great
story.
Yeah,
pretty great.
I'm interested.
And awesome. I wasn't sure if I'm going to bring this up.
You should bring it up.
I'm going to bring it up. So this thing happened a while ago where he lost a bunch of weight, and he was... posted some Instagram photos.
Wait, who is this guy? No, it's not Guy Fee.
Adam Richman.
Adam Richman.
Oh, Adam Richman. Yeah.
So he posted
If you're listening, Adam, I've never met you, but I've heard you're a cunt.
He took a photo of himself, and he lost a lot of weight. Looks great. Totally, totally great.
Don't backtrack, man.
This
is bullshit. So
he posted this photo.
He looks asshole.
He posted this photo, and he hashtagged it Thinspiration.
Okay.
Which, I never heard this term before, but someone left a comment, a very polite comment, and was like, hey, Adam, like, you look great. Just so you know, like, Thinspiration is a thing, the anorexic community, that's kind of like, has like kind of a weird connotation. It's like, if you're anorexic, you know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
It's kind of like Thinspiration, and maybe like people have unhealthy tendencies towards this. And so
you would look at like a picture of another anorexic person as your Thinspiration.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure exactly, but she was basically like, gotcha. This is, I'm sure you wouldn't know that. There's no way you would know this, but I'm just letting you know. And
she did it nicely.
It's totally nice. And he just wrote back, Dillagaff. Which stands for, do I look like I give a fuck?
Oh, God.
Oh, Dillagaff.
And then And then from there, and then from there, it was he told some girl like she should kill herself, like
what?
Like
you should see, you, cut.
You,
right?
Can, yeah. You can look at her. He was like, he was just like went. He like went so aggressively over the top, defensive, and
well, he's hungry, you know.
Yeah. So he apologized. I think one of his shows got canceled, but everyone kind of forgot about it. But once in a while, I would go on his Instagram, and he would be like, "Hey, a great pasta, blah blah blah," and I would retweet it and just write "Dilligap." I would repost his boring tweets and write it. And then one day I would do it like every 6 months. And then one day I tried to do it, and it was like, "This user has blocked you." Yeah.
It's a badge of honor, dude. Yeah.
And then I was in LA once at a restaurant, and he was there.
Oh,
and I was going to send over a Dilligap note.
Ah!
And then I was like, I shouldn't do this. And then yes. I was worried he was going to recognize me from Twitter. Like, I was like,
oh my God, that would never happen.
I thought too much.
My avatar is a painting of a Picasso painting that isn't even of me.
It
does look a lot like me. But yeah, that's my closest, like, celebrity chef kind of run in.
That's a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was lighthearted, but you know. Still poignant.
See, that's like, okay. You know, this is good though, because now you're thinking about bands that I want to be like the Born Against. You know, I want to like just be like fuck you and like you know call everybody out and like that would be amazing. You know, like just yes. But, you know.
Then like your service at your restaurants would suck. It'd be like you're lucky to be here. It wouldn't be like nice.
Yeah.
You know, is
the Born Against Superiority Burger? Is that
Brooks played drums in Born Against in their like later years? Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to check that place out.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's original.
100. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
The famous John Hilt.
The famous John Hilt.
Yes.
So are you still playing music at all in California? Or because I know you're in some bands out here. Obviously,
You know. I've tried. I had like two kind of situations. There's always like something like, yes, I'll do, like, I'd like to play. And, you know, we're always tossing around. And there was like two things that kind of got somewhere. And then, like, last minute, like, oh, let's not do this anymore. Or this person's going to go do this. And that person, you know, this person's busy. So I say yes, but it's not like something like I chase after. Like, right before I left, I've been here for a month now, actually. But they like I was talking to some friends and you know like oh we're gonna get together and I was like I'd love to but I have to go to New York and open two restaurants but when I come back if you want to play that's awesome but you know it's, I really just want to play to like because I'm in the kitchen mostly like I'm thinking about food all the time so it'd be really great to just be like hey guys that don't cook all the time let's just make some noise and like I'm not like for me I don't really care to like I don't have to play shows or like you know put out a record or I just want to like. Hang out with some friends and make some noise and like hopefully it's fun, you know. That's all. I'm like looking for that more than like, oh, let's play a show and let's go on a tour. Maybe I could talk to this guy. He'll put out a record and you know we, you know, so and so's playing. We can get on that show. Like I'm not really interested in that. I just want to have a few hours a week to go and it always like there's literally, you know, someone always kind of comes through and says, hey, let's play. I'm like yes, but this is my situation. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. That's cool. It's totally great for me. And then it's like. You know, it always kind of gets to that point where...
And they follow up, that means you bring us food to practice.
Yeah. I mean, would.
Do you ever feel like if you're... Well, first of all, Scott, do you want to start a band?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jonah's nice. Around.
Yeah.
I'm around. Schedule.
Yes. I have a lot of free time. Do you ever feel... So you get flown out here... Because I went to the pizza place you opened with Trevor. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Double Zero.
Do you ever feel like you come out here... Like, Scott, we hired you to open this restaurant, and then, like, you get out there, and people are asking you questions, and you're like, I don't know. Or do you feel like you have, like...
Like, about, like, what kind of questions?
Like, I guess, like, that just seems like... That just seems so overwhelming to me.
Yeah, what,
like,
what, yeah I was going to ask that. What does it mean to open a restaurant?
Yeah, what does it mean? Like, how
For me, from, like...
Like, what's your role, I guess?
So, I'm basically the chef for the company. Matthew is, you know, a well-known chef, but he's... At this point, he's the restaurant owner, he's a restaurateur. So he owns, like, he's the founder, CEO, and...
It's like Suge Knight.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Suge Knight.
Thank you for putting in terms I can understand.
Sure. We really opened this up on East Coast, West Coast at the start of this.
It's always on my mind. It's always on my mind.
So my job is to basically make the menus and then, you know... R&D the recipes, like research and develop the recipes, and then train a staff, and then open the restaurant and be in the kitchen to like maintain the standards. and then keep in touch, you know, all the time with them and make sure that, you know, they have the support they need.
Do you have who is going to be like the head chef once you leave in place already?
That's usually the plan. Like that's, you know, yeah. So I'm currently like we open Bar Verde, which is like the Mexican restaurant that we just opened. And I hired a chef and he's there right now. And he's, you know, it's Friday night. It's going to get busy pretty soon. And he's handling it. And, you know, and I just have to, you know, be the eyes and ears and taste buds to make sure everything, the standards are there and everything's, you know, just consistent and moving forward, you know.
Sure.
Let me put you in a scenario that must happen to you all the time. You guys make something, you send it out, it's fine. And then the customer's like, this is cooked wrong or something. And you're like, no, I'm a chef. Like, it's definitely not cooked wrong.
Well, that's, you know, there's
like you sell computers.
There's, you know, that happens a lot, but it's at this point, I just.
It does?
It's not even bad. Like, it's like for, and there's definitely chefs that are like, this is how it is, and this is how you're going to get it, and too fucking bad. And for me, I'm just like, you know what? If we have so many people that come to us because they have allergies or they're sick, and, and I just want them to have, I want our guests to have a great experience. And I don't want, like, and especially like, since we're like a plant-based vegan company and we have a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, that are vegan that come to us, like, being a vegan, going to restaurants, you hear no all the time. Mm. And I feel like if you're going to come to our restaurant, because this is something that should be really easy for you to eat at, to hear no really sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything I can do that's like reasonable to give you what you want, you know, I'm not going to make a whole new thing for you, but if it's a simple mm-hmm. substitution or, you know, or if you let me know, like if you're allergic to something, you let us know. Mm-hmm. 24 hours in advance, we'll have it for you. We can do that.
It's
like,
nice
just,
to hear.
You just got to know like ahead of time. Like I can't like, you know,
right.
Someone came in the restaurant and he was like, oh, I'm allergic to nuts and I can't have this and I can't have that. And it's like, you know, when we have a restaurant full with 70 people right now and like it's like, that kind of screws everything up. I can give you something, but it's not, if you give me a heads up, we can make something really awesome for you, you know. But that's something I like to, you know, to do with our restaurants, you know, just because I just don't really like, you know, being a strict vegan, you know, for a part long time of my life, like going to restaurants going, no. And then, you know, going to like a vegan restaurant, I'm like, no, we can't do that. It's like,
and you're still a strict vegan.
No, I try things.
Yeah.
But mostly, you know, that's the food I love the most.
I can't, that's been the hardest for me because I'm a newish vegetarian, mm-hmm. just like 3 years. And
okay.
I haven't been able to. See, Benny just told me recently, he's like, that fake meat is bad for you. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? That's all I've been eating. So I got rid of soy. And I'm like, now what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And it's I ordered a vegan pizza at a place out in Jersey. And the waitress looked at me and went, you know that means no cheese. And according to my wife, I reacted poorly. In my head, I thought it was a very nice, honest response. But according to her, there was probably cum in my food.
So you did get a little dairy.
No, it's beautiful.
Yikes. Speaking, though, of vegetarian vegan, I'm on like year, I don't know. I'm getting close to like 25 years vegetarian, mm-hmm. strict vegetarian. And through that time, I've had a lot of, like, you know, ethical and philosophical questions that have gone away and come back mm-hmm. through the course of my process. And something I always think about is, like, especially now as just, like, an older person and a little more pragmatic, like, what if people, like, by the droves really started, like, going vegan and going vegetarian, like, all throughout the world, like, I can never see the end game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what the plan is if, like, this actually works.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you foresee ever, like, a vegetarian world, or is it possible, or is meat just part of the human experience and we're just deciding not to be part of it?
It just seems like it's so far-fetched that it actually could happen. Like,
right.
And I just think everybody has to, you know, from going from like, being a strict vegan, like, and then, you know, being a dick about it, and like to kind of finding some kind of balance and being like, you know, this is how I like to eat. It makes me feel good. It doesn't really make me feel good when I watch other people like push this shit on people. So sure. like, I just want people to find out themselves. And, you know, like, I'm like, people say to me all the time, oh, I'm trying to be vegan and I'm trying to be vegetarian. It's like, that's great. You're mm-hmm. you're trying. You're doing so much more than mm-hmm. so many other
people. Thinking about
it. You know, it's like, yeah. you know, do what you can do that's best for you. And that's really, you know, and like, you know, some people might think that's like a shitty thing to say, but like, I don't really, I'm not here. I never like, I don't think it's, you know, something that you need to push on people. And I think that all this information's coming out now and it has been, and, you know, people are going to find it, you know, get into it as much as they can. And that's good. And like, that's all I really, you know, that's the most I can ask for. Would it be cool? Or would it be amazing? Sure. But like, what are we going to do with all this, you know?
Right.
Like the fucked up land and, you know, weird, you know,
I have a dear friend who's been working for the Department of Agriculture for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past few years, she's like, yeah, I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. I've got a lot of ethical mm-hmm. things. And I remember in college when she was studying animal science, she knew this where she wanted to go. I was dating the equivalent of like riot girl, vegan, whatever, and pushing all this PETA stuff,
yeah, which
has their own issues. And my friend came over and looked at the flyer and went, no, lie, no. Yeah, shit. Yeah. Okay, there's a reason for that one. No. And I was like, oh, interesting standpoint on both sides. And as she's grown, gotten mm-hmm. older and all this, it's just so, it is. I think about what Benny's saying is like, is there, what gets to the point of like, is it too far gone? You know, as in a corporate structure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people in this world to ask to do that. You know,
yeah. Sure, you know? That's true.
You know,
did you ever read the China Study? Did you read that book?
Uh-uh.
It's my grandfather gave it to me because he had a debilitating heart attack and went from being able to, you know, play golf every day to not being able to walk mm-hmm. 9 feet. And his doctor said, you just got to change your diet. So he read this book, and it was about how in provinces in China where you go further out, where people don't have any money and yeah. you can't buy a calf, you know, they would eat mostly vegetables. And oddly enough, they were much healthier than people in the cities.
They live
and
longer.
Things like that.
And yeah.
Weird, right? Yeah. They live longer. So my grandfather became a vegan in his 80s.
Wow.
And went from walking 9 feet to playing 9 holes again.
That's yeah. great.
And it was, and even his doctor went, let's throw some fish in here for you. Just you're a little older. You've gone too far into yeah. it. But it's a very fascinating book, and it's mm-hmm. just super science.
I've I've been around, like, yeah. you know, and I've seen people, like, one of the first, like, working at Angelica, I worked in, like, the takeout part, you know, when I first started working there. And there was this older man. His name was Vinny Puma. And he just came in.
Perfect New Year's.
He was great. And he looked exactly.
Vinny Puma.
Exactly what you think he looked like, too. And, you know, he was,
did he call you guy? Hey, gay.
Yeah, probably. Kid. I think he called me kid, actually. But he would come and just get juice every day. And I was like, Vinny, just get something else. Come on. We got all this good food. And he laid it on me. He was like, I had cancer. I went on this juice thing. This was like 1995. This was like a long time ago. And I was like, and I cured myself by drinking all this juice. I cured myself of cancer and I have no cancer anymore. And it was just like, huh? What? And like that kind of like blew my mind. And then and then you'd have all these other people that were coming in there because they were, you know, had all these health issues that were like healing themselves. And, you know, you think about it, you know, you make your body, make digestion easy. Your body can like kind of like get to the other things that are, you know, it can help the other things that are bad. Like if you're like, digestion's really hard on your body. So if you're like eating all this like processed food, it needs to put a lot of energy in that and doesn't get the chances to like, you know, maybe, you know, whatever, you know, your heart, you know, your arteries or whatever. I don't even, you know, it keeps away that energy to like, to help heal that. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, seeing that and having it that like kind of simple, it was like, oh, all right, wow. And then, you know, you just see all these people like that eat healthy. Like Matthew Kenny is, you know, he's in his 50s and everyone like, you're what? You're that, how old are you? You look like you're 38, you know, and he does. But he eats like super clean, super
healthy.
Look at
healthy. Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Scott, I think
he's like 85 years old.
I heard you were actually like 5'1" before you started going
yeah,
vegan.
Yeah. I was 4'11".
Wow.
And you sprouted?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Damn.
You did one.
Holy shit. You're on it.
By the way, welcome, Vinny Boomer over here. I mean this in such a positive way. You have the most California vibe to you now. I feel like it's so calming.
Is this California
Thank
Scott?
You.
I like it. I mean, is it like, is it at all like, and I feel like all my questions are so negative. Is it all like a bummer being back here in the sense like, with like Angelica being closed and Pure and all that stuff? Or
no, you know, I love it here. And it's just my home. You know, my family's here. And like all, like lots of my friends are here. Can I complain about it being fucking cold? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, you're from here. You shouldn't be. It's like, yeah, it's fucking cold. It's 30 degrees. You know, I'm cold. But it's not a bummer. I love coming here. I've definitely been here for a month and I'm starting to get a little like, you know, it's like, all right, I'm sleeping above, you know, a heavy metal bar, which is really loud. And, you know, it's like every night I'm like, oh, again, these fucking,
can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Everything.
You can hear everything up there.
I can hear the band sound checking. I can hear like, you know, I can people like, and it's also kind of fun at the same time. And I've been begging Justin and Elena to like do this like heavy metal sidewalk. Like they just should videotape or record them because there's so much nonsense that these people talk about. That's even better than,
oh, I'm, you know, sure,
heavy metal parking lot.
Yeah.
You know? I get like smoothie recipes and, you know, like the weirdest, like, I was like, oh, why am I recording this? This is so dumb.
Heavy metal parking lot. I know people who were at that show and God, I remember the first time seeing it, I was like, holy shit, this is every dildo I knew in high school. Wearing a Swan Song t-shirt. So, God, I love that movie. It's so great.
You got a thing against Zeppelin?
Hmm? Yeah,
what,
I do.
No. What was that shit?
I don't. I like Bonham, but I don't like Zeppelin.
Someone brought up
And by Bonham, I mean the band Bonham.
Yeah, I get it. Someone was talking shit on the Doors today.
Oh, I don't like the Doors.
I can do that for you if you'd like.
I don't like the Doors either.
No one likes the fucking Doors. This is part of my reasoning that bothers me. I really feel like if the Doors were from England, everyone would fucking love the Doors. And the same attitude they carried over here doesn't work. And if fucking Led Zeppelin was from California singing about Valhalla and your underlord and fucking Lord of the Rings and shit, it would have been like the corniest, like, whatever.
That's a really good point. Because everyone loves like the Faces.
Yeah. Why? It's ridiculous. But because it was like smart and British, like they got away with it, and because the Doors were kind of like, we're dumb and American, they can't get away with it. I don't like
but
this.
They also suck though.
No. How did that band suck?
Come on,
the Doors
is the biggest band. They didn't even have
a bass player. They were not good musicians.
Oh my God.
Densmore's a good drummer.
They had some cool organ parts.
Great organs, cool. Great drums.
Sick organ.
And the two records after he died were really good.
I'm just saying. I think there's something going on here. My argument holds no water? All four people
in
the room?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Jeremy, I got you.
Scott, have you ever read Please Kill Me?
I'm indifferent.
Have you ever read Please Kill Me?
No.
Scott,
just read the first chapter, Please Kill Me.
All right.
What's the classic rock band that all your friends like that you just can't get into?
For me,
I feel like CCR. I just never could really get into.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of rednecky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, am I allowed to say that? Is that a bad word?
No. That's fine. God.
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
You're sitting in front of one. You're fine.
I'm trying to. That's a good question. I'm sure I don't like a lot of bands that my friends like. But I used to hate Led Zeppelin.
Really?
In high school, I hated them.
And oh, so did I.
It was like, so much hate. I could not.
All the jocks like Zeppelin. Yeah, so I associated that with, and Pink Floyd with like, jockey,
they
got me into Minor Threat, which worked out great.
Yeah.
So you guys,
exactly.
I think, are just from a bit of a different time. Like, like Led Zeppelin was nostalgic by the time I got to high school.
But when they were nostalgic for sure, but it just was not like, I was the same way. All I cared about was skateboarding and the Bad Brains and Minor Threat. That, and like anything that sounded, you know, like that easy listening, you know, I was not interested in. Maybe if it was reggae, because, you know, that was like some other, like, what was
different, like, different thing altogether.
Rastas just seemed the uber punk, you know, they were so much more punk than anybody, you know, to me. So that's why I loved reggae. But yeah, I just like, but literally, I think, you know, I like found Led Zeppelin on tour with Texas. So like, we were just, I think one of us, it might have been me, like, like that we were staying at someone's house and there was like a Led Zeppelin tape. I'm like, I'm taking that. And we like, and like all of a sudden it was like, holy shit, this is amazing. You know, like, and then, you know, we're sound checking, you know, to like riffs and stuff, you know, like it was like such a weird thing, but like,
well, then you would sound check to the bands they stole them from.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When we had Daly on, I felt like half our podcast was just talking about the Grateful Dead.
Sure was.
Yeah. He's like, he grew up with them. Him and his brother was super into it. And he's like, he's into it. He's on it, you know? But I like, that was another thing. Like I, like in high school, I had friends that loved the Grateful Dead. I'd been to like, you know, they were like, oh, we're going to the, you know, so I went to the, you know, Nassau Coliseum, hung out in the parking lot, watch everyone run around like fucking maniacs and, you know, sucking, you know, helium balloon, or whatever it is.
Yeah, what kind of drugs were going on in the parking lot of Nassau Coliseum for Grateful Dead in the 80s?
There was like, it was like, you know, lots of acid, mescaline,
still any Quaaludes still
but I was like
then?
Totally straight edge, so like I didn't do any of that. You know, I just was hanging out, you know? Yeah. I was just hanging out and like watching. Like,
yeah, we'd have hung out in high school, Scott. Yeah.
Had Quaaludes? Had Quaaludes gone away by then?
I have never seen a Quaalude.
Here's, here's
my
a question.
My great aunt worked for that factory.
I would do
Quaalude. This comes up so often. Immediately, I would do it.
Where is it? Someone's got a few in a safe.
I've actually never done.
Like,
no? I never thought about it.
What exactly is a Quaalude?
It's a super downer. My great aunt worked for the company that made Quaaludes and would proudly tell people that in her retirement.
I think Valiums came as an offshoot of it.
But I thought, but Quaaludes don't put you to sleep though.
No, it's a downer. Just
But they make you loopy and drunk,
like,
right?
Like three Valiums and a Mountain Dew.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't know. I just made that up. Sounds great.
It's a good name for a band. Do you think
that's an album?
Do kids
album for sure?
Do kids do Whippets still, or is that
yes?
Yeah, sure.
Who do Whippets? Yeah,
sure.
I wasn't sure if like that was not like that was like Quaaludes. It was a thing. Well, people didn't.
I think Daly sent me a photo. Like me and Daly and. We have a text thread of a bunch of stupid shit. And he's like, look at these people. They're way too old to be doing this. And they're totally, we're holding.
That's who's doing it.
Holding balloons.
Dude,
yeah.
I mean, someone stopped making Quaaludes. Someone did not stop making whipped cream.
Yeah, like, but I wonder if just kids do like pills now or something. Like they have, or they like download drugs.
I think
I don't
know. Old classics.
No, they drink Purell.
They drink Purell.
Yeah. Go look up YouTube videos about kids showing how to drink Purell.
That must give you the shits.
Which was invented by Thomas Edison's brother. It just took like a long time to for
Purell
people to go.
Invented wait, doing
he
Purell
invented
as
drinking
a drug
it? Both.
No, I don't know. About he invented he put the Purell thing.
Is it
together,
like drinking Robitussin or something? It just like
No,
it's just because it has a trace amount of alcohol in it. People used to do the same shit with like breath spray and mouthwash just because there was a trace amount of alcohol in it. They thought if they fucked with it enough, they get wasted.
Is it?
Oh, we'd do that in college. If you Listerine. Didn't have enough money for beer, you'd pay $4 to get Robitussin.
You've robo trips, dude?
Oh my gosh.
Many times. I've also taken a few.
You've also robo
a few trips down the robo trip.
Can anyone tell me a highlight? Robitussin.
Dude, I saw the Ramones while Robitussin.
Yes. I can't top it.
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
Wow,
it's beautiful.
This was how fucked up I was. I had this guy that man, I know my parents listen to this. I had this guy.
You're
old
enough,
in a cave
you
in
just
Afghanistan.
Gotta come clean,
tell the story, and if it's too awful, I'll
it'll
save it.
It'll feel good.
Bonus.
Just wash away. Oh, yeah. It'll wash away once you tell it.
This
is a safe place, Jonah.
I knew this guy who was older, who initiated me into the ways of robo-tripping. And I went with him to this Ramon show because I wasn't old enough to drive.
Okay.
And we stopped on the way. I mean, and the fact that this guy would tell like 2 15-year-old kids how to do this is so incredible to me and terrible, but also it's a good story. But we went, I remember we went to Revco, which was a drugstore in Ohio at the time, defunct. And he was like, you have to get this certain kind of Robitussin with a certain color label. Like, it was very specific. He's like, you have to drink half the bottle, then wait a half hour, then drink the second half.
Okay.
And so we did it. I remember we did it, and then we got to the venue. We drank the second half. And drinking a full bottle of Robitussin is a terrible experience. It's so thick.
I was just like,
it's so sweet. It's so syrupy.
Yeah.
But it's on par with, like, some of like my strongest psychedelic experiences. It puts you in an insane state of mind.
Oh my God.
And I watched a show. The Ramones played Nautica in Cleveland. They did the first Warped Tour. It was outdoor. And I was so fucked up that after the show ended, I was watching just people leave. And then I realized that I was the only person there. And I was standing, and no one knew where I was. This was before cell phones. And I was just standing by myself in this empty venue, literally just like mesmerized by like, just like what was happening around me.
Well, at least you were riding it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then,
didn't go south on
dude, it. I have another Robitussin experience that's even more messed up. I can tell because it was so long ago. I only did it two or three times. The last time I did it,
Did you dupe your parents to do this one?
No. Dude, I did it. This is really bad.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs.
So I don't mean to take over this podcast.
It's okay.
this is important.
I did it with my friend.
And, Jonah has to come clean.
And,
it's vegan, right? Robitussin?
We went.
I think so.
Probably.
Yeah, I was 15 again. I did it like two or three times.
15 again.
I was still 15. And, my friend was having someone I thought was my friend was having a house party because his parents were out of town.
Oh man!
And I went to the house party with my friend, and he had like a cool babysitter who was like, "You can have a party, and I can tell your parents." And I went, and we were road tripping. We showed up, and the babysitter was like, "Yeah, it's like actually, guys, sorry, it's full." And we're like, "No, it's cool. We're friends with this guy." And he's like, "No, like you guys can't come." Basically, we got like denied this party, and we were robo tripping, and it was like super weird vibes. And we went back to my house and called the cops on them.
And it's so West Coast.
Dude, the cops came, and like all these kids in my grade got busted and grounded, and Jonah. No one knew who did it. And I remember
until
being at school,
now.
Yeah, and people being like, "Did you hear about this?" I was like, "No, what happened?" And it was in, yeah, and all these people got in trouble. And
did you just tell this to make up to Mr. and Mrs. Bayer on the podcast? You're like, "Listen,
wow,
I did the right thing."
Yes,
in the
I did
end,
it a couple times. I did it and saw the Ramones, and then I did it and called the cops on a house party that I didn't get,
dirty.
Well, that beats my go-karting story.
Yeah. Sorry, Steven. Yeah. I mean, I felt weird about airing this publicly, but it was literally like over 20 years ago. You can't be mad about that. There's a statute of limitations on being mad about that.
No, Jonah, totally. I'm mad at you now.
If you weren't
crazy?
Even there.
What? Come on now.
Who's pissed? I am on your side.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Go to the Revco, buy some eggs, and do some work. What are you calling the police? Come on.
West Coast. My feelings were hurt. I was a sensitive adolescent.
Yeah, you could have toilet papered the house. Yeah.
I know.
So many better
so
ways.
So many options.
Yeah, I don't know.
The cops were the more fun.
Yeah, that was sure. You didn't even light anything on fire.
Have you guys ever called the cops on a party before?
I did by accident.
Yeah.
The one I was at.
Oh, no.
You might know the guy, Chris Ross. You remember Chris Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was at a party at Chris Ross's house on New Year's. I tried to use his phone, and this is the days of landlines, and I pressed a speed dial button by
accident. 911?
And I called 911. And I'm on the phone with him. I'm like, "Oh my God, I didn't mean to call you guys. I'm so sorry. This is ridiculous. I shouldn't have called you." And they're like, "Yeah, but we have to send someone there." And I'm like, "No, you don't. Please. Like, we're fine. There's nothing. Don't waste the taxpayers' money." And they're like, "Nah, it's like protocol.
Yeah, they got to."
So I literally had to hang up the phone, go to my friend Chris, the host of this party, be like, "Hey, the cops are about to come. I called him." Yeah, but he was able to negotiate at the door, and they never came in. It panned out okay.
I have some friends in a band who were supposed to play a house show. I don't want to give any names, and didn't want to play the house
names.
Show. And they called the cops so that they wouldn't have to play.
No, names are important.
Is
now.
This a band who still
But did they
exists?
Expect their guarantee? Their house
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Wait,
that's when it gets fucked up.
Give me three questions.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
I'll tell you after.
Does the band still exist?
Oh, shit.
It was Texas is the reason.
It was Texas is the reason.
All right, you don't want to say.
I don't want to say.
Jonah
I'll
looks so reticent.
I feel like I've already divulged too much during this podcast.
No,
I just feel
beautiful.
So comfortable next to Scott's like glowing West Coast.
I know. He's
like
gleaming.
Shining through raw
so,
foodistry.
I was wondering if those insane chefs I see in movies are real. Like the ones who are just like in the back of the kitchen, just hollering and throwing plates and like being that like insane, but they're so good that they're allowed
it's
to be this
kind of that culture is kind of getting pushed out. Okay. It definitely still exists, but it's not really, you know, it's not, you know, sustainable or fun to be in. It's just like, you know, it's like everyone always talks about, you know, the restaurant industry is like, oh, giving the guest the best experience. It's like, we have to, like, you know, as a chef, for me, that my big thing is like changing that culture where we're not expecting everyone to, like, you know, like these restaurants, like they want everyone just to give up their life. And like, you know, and I work a lot and I'm totally, you know, sure, guilty of being one of those people. But that whole, it's, you know, they're definitely out there. I think those chefs are like not really the ones people are trying to work for anymore. Because it's not really, there's a lot of other chefs and a lot of other restaurants that are, you know, changing that culture.
Right.
Because it's a little bit tiring. And it's
I always
exhausting.
Wonder how that works. It's like, I always think of the chef as the first to arrive, the last to leave. And I just think restaurants seem just to be great to go to and experience and love. But to work in them, it just seems so daunting to me.
Yeah, you know, and it is for some people. And I mean, I love it. I love that energy. There are days that I'm the first one to go, the last one to leave, but only if I have to. And I won't, like, you know, and there's a lot of chefs out there that, you know, like, you know, Grant Achatz from Alinea in Chicago, like, you know, 3 Michelin star restaurant. He's like, he keeps on saying, like, in interviews, like, he feels so guilty not being at his restaurant. And it's like, you know, leaving for, you know, early or like not coming in for the date or going or spending time at another restaurant. It's like, for me, I just can't. Especially, like, I mean, at that level, like, you have 3 Michelin stars and, you know, everything's supposed to be, like, super perfect, super spot on, everything, like, you know, right, exact. Yes, that's, like, you know, I can see having that, you know, that burden, being like, oh, we have to do this, like, amazing every time or we're going to lose all these accolades, da-da-da. But for, you know, us, like, we're just vegetarian restaurants and, like, you know, and, like, we're, like, you know, like, not to put it down, but, like, we're not. When someone, like, I'm not saying that this is something I'm after at all. I actually don't really care that much. But if, like, the day that one of our restaurants has, you know, Michelin stars and people, like, really care about that perfectionness and that, like, you know, then there might be a different, little bit different. But
you'll serve meat. We understand.
Exactly. You know? It's just different. You know, it's just a different culture. And just trying to, like, you know, change that because, you know, there's a restaurant in Norway that, they're open 4 days a week and they all work 8 hours a day, you know, yeah. And like they're like trying to change and it's difficult too.
Norwegians.
How do you,
they're just always ahead.
Yeah.
They're
probably get, like, you know, funded by the government.
Oh yeah,
too.
Of course.
So,
right.
You know, it's not
my
like,
club it, needs money.
Yeah. It's like,
we, you know, now we're a band,
I have,
but
a,
we hate capitalism. Piss me off.
Is that your Norwegian accent?
It was spot on.
Yeah.
When you,
I thought you were speaking.
Maybe the MAGA thing is going to bring back those dickhead chefs. Maybe it's going to be like the new thing again.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're, we're cock and ball chefs again, you know, like that thing.
I don't know. I think, you know, with the way, just, I mean, everything's, I mean, so many people, like, there's like chefs, like this whole, you know, sexual harassment stuff is like,
right.
It's like, you know, it's just, there's like no room for any of that shit anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
sure
it's, and it's good because, you know, I want people to come to work and be excited. Like, I hate like going to work and like, you know, so the chef would like, you know, that is in a bad mood and you're just like, nothing worse than being like uncomfortable in like a kitchen,
sure,
that like, mm-hmm, it's supposed to be my kitchen or like, you know, food
when you,
that,
know,
like,
you know, someone else's bad day is going to make you have,
yeah,
a bad,
and it's like,
day.
I don't want to be uncomfortable, yeah, here. And like, you know, sure. And like, and it's, it also gives me like, you know, there's definitely times where, you know, I'll get overwhelmed and I'll be like, what the fuck, you know, and I'll blow up and it's like, oh, well, that was stupid. And like, you know, as it's happening, I'm like, oh, well, I'm letting like the stupid thing get in my way. And you know, at the end of it, like, all right. Like, as soon as I'm sorry, you know, like,
yeah, well, you're a person, you're, you know, allowed.
Yeah. Anybody, but also is. Like, I also have worked with chefs who pick that time, the perfect time. And you're like, oh, okay, this works. But like, I've also worked with, you know, been there with Jonah, why are you doing that? Why is this here? Why is that there? You know, why you're 10 minutes late? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, and it's like, clean up this. And it's like, it's not fun. And like, you're just like, you're walking on eggshells and you're like scared and like, you're not going to put out good food. You're right. Not going to make good food because you're so scared. You don't even know what the next thing that you did that's fucked up.
You have know? You done a book?
I've done two cookbooks mm-hmm. with Matthew. We just had a new one come out. It actually just came out on the 14th. Mm-hmm. It's called okay. Plant Lab.
Right on.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Plant Food.
Plant Food. Okay.
Yeah, that came out 3 years ago, 2013, 4 years ago.
Somebody gave me a book years ago that I haven't opened because I don't cook, but it's called Veg.
Okay.
And I was like,
from the restaurant in Philly?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, probably, yeah.
I should open it.
Makes and sense. Learn to
cook. Don't even throw it out.
Okay.
Makes sense why you like
or eat it. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was yes. like Veg.
Veg is good. Yeah. Makes sense why you like Zeppelin so much because Robert Plant.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Put that together.
There it is.
And I think you just slapped the button on this.
How
one.
Much of how much of like, you know, through the years you must have had to learn about like the nutrition of each item. Like mm-hmm. like how much does that come into play for you when you're putting dishes together? Like if something tastes great, but it's a bunch of plants that don't happen to have a lot of like deep, like, do you yeah. actually like feel the need to make sure like something protein rich or iron rich is like in a meal?
I think it kind of happens naturally. And right. also, you know, it's, there's so much protein. It's like all these vitamins and protein, it's in, we're eating too much of that. Like, I don't think anyone's ever really, you know, going to be like, oh, yeah. Like the whole, the protein myth too, you
it's
know,
a little yeah. overblown.
You know, it's like, if you eat a balanced, you know, you're fine.
Right.
I do like to, you know, pair things together. Like I always like to put like something like pickled or acidic with, you know, and then something creamy and like rich and, you know, then something crunchy. Like, so I do kind of like, you know, I play on that with like textures and flavors. Mm-hmm. But that usually just kind of happens naturally with, like, you know, with the nutrition thing. But I did spend a long time, like, you know, because I was really, like, going back to, like, Vinnie Puma, like, right. being, like, amazed that, like, wow, this juice can, like, heal people. Or so, like, sure. I definitely always, you know, paid attention to that. But I, like, also, like, I love carrots. And, like, carrots are, like, this, like, you know, polarizing vegetable. Like, why do you eat so much? I was, like, I just like them. I think they're sweet. They're delicious. Like, you can do so many different things with them. But, like, their chefs are just, like, they're fucking carrots. Like,
they're
you know?
Polarizing because people like me were told to eat them. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing that cured my vision was laser beams. So, fuck carrots.
And you had to eat them out of a can. And they're weird and soft.
Wait, why are they looked at as, like, trashy commoner vegetables?
Yeah, I just think it's like a regular vegetable, you know. And
that just flowed off the tongue for you. That's
I can't believe
good.
There's such bougie,
yeah, yeah,
bougie vegetable stuff.
These so, aren't heirlooms.
What are like commoner vegetables? Like potatoes?
Yeah,
carrots.
But I don't think people would ever like snub a potato though, like because I think potatoes,
really?
You know,
is a carrot the most snubbed? A broccoli is broccoli snubbed?
Yeah, no, I think for some reason carrots, but I also think it's because I like to use carrots so much.
So you hear about
yeah,
it a lot.
So it's like, oh, carrots again. You put carrots, you try to put carrots in every dish.
what do you think is like the coolest vegetable right now?
The coolest vegetable?
Like the trendiest.
Yeah, what's the most like chic?
Oh, I don't even know.
Is it like ramps or something?
What are the
ramps are in the spring, yeah. And to be honestly, like they're kind of boring to me. Like it's like it's not worth all the hype.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I've been like, oh my god, ramps, cool, they're awesome. And like you know, when you're working in restaurants, you bring them in and people get excited, and you get to see the guests' excitement. But for me, I'm just like, they're just kind of like smelly, fancy scallions. You know, it's like
yeah.
you know, but I don't know. I mean. It's just so great to have, you know, the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Everything's always available. You know?
Yeah.
We really need to know what the hippest vegetable is.
The hippest vegetable? I don't even know. I can't.
Like purple cauliflower or something?
Purple. Romanesco. Like the green, like conical. Looks like almost like an alien egg.
Okay.
That could be like, that could be up there.
That's a cool one. That's good.
That sounds
one.
Cool.
Yeah. Where do you fall in the line of like.
I'm
like,
just going to say eat that in a conversation.
Romanesco. Like,
yeah. The Romanesco here is. Oh,
I got
fantastic.
It from Brad, the
it's
truffle
killer.
Farmer. Like where do you fall is, you know, buying stuff that, you know, everything is now in season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, are your restaurants aware of that? Like, do you have things that are like you'll stay away from things that are legitimately available but not in season where you live?
In Venice, yes. You know, at the pizza place and the Mexican restaurant, it's a little bit tricky because, mm-hmm. you know, it's, you know, tomato. We need tomatoes. So, you know,
right.
you know, the tomatoes.
I was unaware tomatoes were a seasonal item, so thank you.
Yeah, they're like, you know, summer, like late spring, summer. But yeah, so I mean, in a perfect world, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to only have what's growing and what's available. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're, you know, a business and we have to have certain, you know, amount of menu items to, like, to make the money work, to get, you mm-hmm. know, to get the guests to spend enough money to hit the numbers, you know, which is, like, something that a lot of people don't really realize, like, you know, when they're eating at a restaurant. It's like, why is this $20? It's like, well, that Romanesco cost $4 a head, you know.
There's quite a small...
We had to drive to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to drive to bring it. In the restaurant business, right? If I'm not mistaken, like...
Yeah.
Like, and that's one and of
especially
the reasons.
When you're using high-end ingredients, sure. too, like in, you know, farmer's market. Like, you know, like, yes, in buying direct is cheaper, but still, like, it's still expensive. And it's still, like, you know, getting those, you know, awesome ingredients.
I've seen Ratatouille. I feel like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, having just opened a Mexican restaurant in New York... You know, a lot of people on the West Coast, everyone just shits on Mexican food on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's, you know. Do you think it's possible to have good Mexican... I mean, obviously, is it possible to have good Mexican food on the East Coast?
You know, it's funny because East Coast Mexican food is what are the flavor... Like, that's what I
right.
like.
It's like a different food, right?
So,
dude, I almost. Like Mighty Taco. I like it all.
Yeah, yeah. Mighty Taco's great. I mean, like, when Texas was a band, when we got to, the first place we wanted to go was Del Taco.
Oh, right.
You know, that was like,
Del Taco.
You know, that was our, so like, good. That was, you know, I was like, fuck Taco Bell, we're going to Del Taco.
Right.
You know,
the first time I went
green
to California,
burrito wet.
Yeah.
And I saw corn in a burrito. I was like, what the fuck is this? West Coasters.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's different. I mean, and also our restaurant's a little like it's, I don't know, it's a little, it's definitely different than, it's
yeah.
not trying to be like a, you know, a traditional like taco shop. You know, we definitely do. Not, it's not. Upscale or fancy, it's just like, you know, there's carrot tacos.
of course.
I've heard the carrot salsa is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, it's a really a carrot taco restaurant.
Sure.
You know, so,
this
we're
is
doing
why
great.
Michelin's not yeah. calling yeah. too many carrots.
When you go out to eat, though, can you just have a meal and enjoy it? Or are you sort of like, I would have seasoned this differently? Or,
I never always bite my tongue as much as like I can. I don't want to be that person, and I'm just usually happy that I'm sitting down and someone else is cooking, and like, and usually I chose that place to go, so I kind of want to be there for whatever experience. Like, I definitely like have gone to a restaurant with some friends and like kind of like trudge through it, like, wow, this really fucking sucks, I can't believe I wanted to come here and this is like this, and but I'm gonna eat, I'm gonna be fine. And like the next day, it's kind of funny. It was like, did everyone like that food? And I'm like, oh, I'm glad. So I was like, no, but like, I'm glad. And but it's also nice not to do it mm-hmm. while it's happening.
Cause right,
like, you
right.
know, it's like,
sure.
Can you break down something? Like,
yeah,
like when you taste something, like break down the recipe, the ingredients. And
yeah,
that always
yeah.
fascinates me.
That's
that
what I was going to ask. You're in a unique position to answer this question. Cause in some ways, like being a musician's ruined music mm-hmm. for me.
Totally.
Because I can never listen to the overall uh-huh. sonic thing that someone else envisioned. I'm like listening to all the pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. And you're a musician, so you understand that. Does it go the same way when you start checking out a new meal, like something you're not familiar with? Like,
yeah, you know, it's, I mean, I definitely, you know, when I'm having something new for the first time or trying like a chef who I've, you know, been following or I, you know, I respect from afar and then finally get to eat there. Like, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's my like, oh, how are they doing this? And what's the, oh, they just use a ton of black pepper in this. That's an awesome idea. Like, you know, or like, there's definitely things like that. I don't try to go, what's this recipe or how do I make this? But I,
yeah.
but I'll use yeah. it.
So the same
I'll use those
like
flavors
a,
yeah. For my, for, to influence me
Got
for
it.
Sure. And even I can usually like, even like look at stuff. I'm like, oh, he's doing that. That's cool. Or she's doing that.
Right.
Doing
right.
That, you know,
I'd be so much snobbier about it if I were you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably, definitely. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, some of my friends say that I am, but like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
just, but I literally, I try not to. Like,
yeah.
I think you should wear an ascot every time you
drive. I'd love to wear an
ascot. I do with music sometimes. So like, as a joke, like someone would be like, oh, I love this band. I'm like, yeah, I don't really like them. They're like, no, I think they're really good. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm just a professional music critic. You would probably know better yeah. than me. Like, and it's like, and people
oh,
are like,
I want to be in a room with that.
And then
oh
I'm like, no, God, no, no, I'm just
awesome.
Kidding.
Well, I actually, it's funny you say that because we were having like this, we were doing this consulting thing with this group, and they took us to
what
eat
a
at, this,
dick.
At this restaurant, and I would love, I like, I was really enjoying this restaurant, and I was like, I'm really happy to eat there, and it was like this, it was like super good. And they were just trashing everything. And I was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm the only one here that has a so-called trained palate.
There it is.
And, like, fuck you. Like,
trained,
you know,
palate was,
yeah,
in quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
You know, I'm the only, and so I was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm, like, the only one here. And they were like, oh. I was like, stop. Like,
drop, and they're all whispering under the their breath.
Yeah, I dropped the carrot.
Yeah,
trained palate. So. I like that.
You know, what's your favorite, palate, like bullshit food? Like once a year, I'll have a box of Velveeta shells and cheese just because I think they're awesome. You know, like, what's your favorite, like, just bullshit food?
I love, like, the shitty Chinese restaurant. That's my, when I come to New York, that's, like, what I really want. Just, like, you know.
Noodles, rice, what do you go for?
Usually, like, broccoli and tofu, brown rice, and scallion pancakes.
Sure.
If I can get that, perfect. I'll order that, and I'm psyched.
That sounds good.
Sometimes it's fucking awful, but I'll just eat it and I'll love it. And sometimes it's like the best and it's perfect. Like, that's the one thing about, like, Chinese restaurants. Like, you can go to the same one for, they're never consistent.
No, yeah, you know? That's true.
You know, it's like,
that is true.
Last time, you know,
you never know.
And, you know, and, like, how could it be? They have, like, these huge menus. Like, I love to be, you know, can I work here for a day for free just to kind of see what you guys do? Like, I'd probably be really scared and probably never want to eat there again. But
yeah, what the fuck happens back there?
Man, but I love, know, like, the whole, like, the counter, and you see everything, and it's all just, no matter where you are, it's a mess.
Mayhem,
you know,
back there, though, probably.
And there's just, like, buckets of stuff.
I always wonder, you know, too. I'm like, wait, why is it already done? Yeah. Like, I swear I barely paid you yet.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be done. You guys want to?
Or then when you
minutes?
Order pickup and they're not done, you're like, wait, whoa, I called 20 minutes ago. How is this? How am I waiting for this?
Something?
Yeah. How? Yeah. So that's like, that's my, like,
that's a good one.
That's what, yeah, I that's love good. That.
Well, and you grew up in Long Island.
Yeah.
So yeah, you
and,
probably
and growing up
strip mall Chinese.
Yeah, that's what my parents are more foodies. Like, you know, they like to eat, but, you know. That was like our going. Oh, do you want, we're going out to eat. What do you want? And we're going to go pick up Chinese food. We weren't even going out. They were like,
we're going to Panda.
Yeah. Do you remember your place? Mine was the House of Wong.
It was Great Wall.
Great Wall.
I'm sure, there's kinda, like
there's
5 million.
Great walls. Yeah.
The Chinese one.
Yeah, the Chinese. Yeah, Chinese. Great Wall of China.
Where are you in the dessert world? Like especially like the vegan thing. That's what part of for me in my process can't get over is that I eat a lot of candy, good and garbage.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to Halloween, mostly garbage with my children.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like 100 grand bar. I didn't know this still existed. I'm eating all of them.
I love to eat desserts and sweets. Like, I definitely have a sweet tooth.
Is that part of your MO in the restaurants?
I'm usually lucky to have a more talented pastry person than me.
It's very different, right?
Like, I made a cake the other day, Bar Verde. I was like, I'm going to make a chocolate cake for a special. Let's try this. I have an idea. And I had a recipe that we did, and I tweaked it a little bit to make it, more just, for, the Mexican restaurant. But I like doing it.
How was it?
Oh, it came out great. Yeah. Like, and I always go, don't tell anyone I can do this, because then I'm going to have to do it all the time.
I was going to say, man, that's a different world. Yeah. Baking versus cooking, that's a thing.
Oh, for sure.
That's a thing.
You definitely have to, like, the ingredients have to be right. You can't just go, just a little of that.
Because I will try and bake something, and it will ruin the kitchen and the smoke alarm.
Yeah.
And
Steven, I have a solution for you.
Mm.
For your snacking.
What?
It works for me.
Okay.
I allow myself one honey roasted peanut butter. It sits in my fridge, and at night when I get, like, the fat boy craving for, if it was in my fridge, anything that would be in there, I take a hearty spoonful of peanut butter, and then I'm good.
I see. You just don't know what you're dealing with me.
Oh, this is another level.
I've been trained to do this,
though. Remember, I was once 240 pounds. I know sweets.
See, for me, it's that Trader Joe's, the dark chocolate almonds.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of buying the vat of it, I'll pay more money to get the little dollar package. And they're like, yeah, but you could just get the vat instead of this handful. I'm like, no, they're smaller packaging. So I can eat them daily.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything
it's
is
the same
great.
Amount.
But I was wondering with the vegan world and, what dairy goes into it and that kind of thing. Does that, because I find, milk chocolate tastes better.
No, there's.
I like both.
There's so much you can do now, and without dairy, and there's like so many There's a lot of, you know.
I'm familiar with the Ben and Jerry's almond butter ice cream.
So people know Jonah's just housing a pint of ice cream right now.
Dude, I had the saddest dinner tonight.
Why?
Because I didn't have a lot of stuff and I didn't feel like going out.
What did you work with?
I put some chicken broth with some red miso paste and some frozen peas. And it was not.
Yeah,
it was
that just, doesn't sound good.
It wasn't good. Yeah. But I was like, I just want something so I'm not hungry later. Flash forward, I'm still hungry. I think I'm hungrier.
When you started what you were talking about, I really wanted to support you.
Yeah.
And then I found out.
I was going to pick up some vegetables or something. Yeah. And then I was like, I don't feel like going out. The grocery store's next door to my house.
Was this frozen peas just tossed in?
I put them in a skillet with olive oil and cooked them separately. So and then dumped it in.
You fried the peas?
Yeah. Yeah, I fried the peas. I didn't have...
when that shows up on one of Scott's menus... Yeah,
yeah. Red fried miso peas, what chicken. The fuck?
Got it.
Yeah, fried.
Got it. Scott, I'll write it out for you. I'll write it out for you. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much to Scott for coming by. If you dug that, like I said in the beginning, check out his cookbook with Matthew Kenny, Plant Lab. It just came out, I believe, last month. And
check out his Instagram.
Check out his Instagram.
Free.
Yeah, check out his Instagram. And
don't forget to get involved with your congressman.
Yeah.
Net neutrality.
Net
Keep
neutrality.
It.
Yes. So Scott can continue to post photos of his food.
Exactly.
Is that what net neutrality is? Not
yes.
really. No, net neutrality is like, so I heard someone talking about it the other day. They'd be like, if you don't have this provider, you can't go to my website or something.
There's a whole bunch of things that they could do to fuck it up. One of the ways they're going to try to sell it to people as a positive thing is that your internet will be a la carte. So you'd be like, yeah, I just want Facebook and Netflix. And so they're going to say, so it'll be cheaper if you just want those two things. But really what's happening is these big companies are going to pay your provider for access. And what that means is that they're going to get all the bandwidth. So that if you try to, and it's really anti-capitalist if you think about it, because it totally suppresses innovation. It suppresses small business. You know, it doesn't allow somebody to get started with a new Facebook, you know,
right.
Because they will not, they just won't have the presence. These big companies will be dominating. They'll have control over bandwidth, which means that they'll have control over their content will get delivered to you preferentially. It's anti everything that the net is about. The net is about getting whatever crazy information you want just as easily as, you know, Time Warner's huge fucking backlog of garbage. So it's a big deal, and we've got us. It can't happen. It could potentially really fuck up the internet as we know it today.
Yeah. So, yeah, write your congressperson.
Sorry about that ding.
Yeah, dude, what is going on with that? Brad has all these alerts. I think Brad has a lot of important meetings today. But yeah, write your congressperson about net neutrality. That was a great synopsis, Brad. I know it's something bad, but I didn't really understand what it was. Thanks to everyone who supported us on Patreon. Please, if you want to... be a patron for us. We'd appreciate it. We appreciate everyone who's joined so far. You'll get early access to episodes, bonus content. We're working on some other ideas. So yeah, you can do that, or you can donate venmo.com/offtrack, or just leave us a cool review on iTunes. Tell your friends about it. Tweet at us. I've met a lot of fans of the podcast recently, just out at shows and stuff. So thank you to everyone. If you see me, feel free to, say hi. I'm very friendly. I'm pretty friendly.
You're very, very friendly.
Yeah, Jonah. I'm approachable.
You're totally approachable and I would say engaging.
I met this guy after the Pianos Become the T-Show in Brooklyn. We were hanging out. And he's like, oh, I'm a big fan of the podcast. He's like, I didn't picture you having a mustache. And I was like, well, basically everyone has a mustache.
And we talk about it.
And we talk about him constantly, yeah. But yeah, this is what I look like. I don't know. It's weird. It is weird. You know, do you ever listen to that The Daily podcast with Michael Barbaro?
No.
It's like a New York Times podcast. And I looked up what he looked like and it blew my mind. You know, like I had this image of him in my head based on nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just like his tone. And I like, well, and then I.
Dude,
yeah.
One of the earliest podcasts that I first started listening to years ago, it was like, it's like an industry thing, and it's a bunch of producers and some musicians. And, and they all sound really cool. And I actually put off looking up what they look like because I knew that this would happen.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think I almost accidentally came across, oh, I think they started doing video. They had done audio and they started doing video. And I wanted to see one of the episodes because I wanted to see a demo they were doing of like a piece of gear. And it was so, it was such a bummer.
Yeah.
Because they just thought we're schlubby.
Yeah. So don't look us up. No, we're cool. We're really cool. Right?
Well, if you want to find out.
If you want to find out.
I am going to start posting video that only our patrons on patreon.com/goingofftrack will have access to.
Oh my God.
So if you do want to see what it looks like at our in our recordings, etc., you are going to have to. You're going to have to pay for it.
That sounds like people are going to pay so much money to see that. Yeah, that is a great incentive. I can't wait to see that. Yeah, but yeah, thank you everyone for supporting us. Thanks again to Scott for coming by. And yeah, we'll be back with the podcast next week, hopefully. Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.